Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
You know, I don't know if you know, but today is Palm Sunday, and it's the week before Easter, and a celebration of the triumphal entry of Jesus, you know, with the palm branches and Jesus riding in. I don't have palm branches this morning, but what I do have is a promise that God is faithful. He is faithful to come through in any season, any time, any need that you have. Our God is faithful. Amen? Hebrews 10:23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold fast. See that statement there, hold fast. I don't know if you guys know this, but that there's old sailor tattoos that they would get tattooed on actually their fingers right here that say, hold fast. And it was very pertinent to them in what they did because they had to hold on to the rigging of the ship. And if they let go, you know, something was going to go wrong. And they had to have that reminder. They didn't have to, but they wanted to have that reminder of that they shouldn't let go. That they needed to stay strong and hold fast. And so I'm going to get hold fast tattooed on my knuckles, if you were wondering. No, they didn't go over very well. I don't know if they... Okay, not on my knuckles. It'll be somewhere else. But we have to hold fast to God, to his faithfulness. See, he's faithful. He doesn't change. We change. The world changes, but he does not change. He is faithful. Are we holding fast to him? Not wavering, not changing. He doesn't waver. He doesn't change. If he promised something to us, he will come through. So many times we get to these seasons or situations in our life, and me too. That there's something going on, and you know, God has said, I will take care of you, I will see you through, and I will prosper you. And we get to this season, we're like, but God, where are you? He's not wavering. But so many times we feel like that maybe he is, or maybe he's working with somebody else and he doesn't have time for me. I don't know. You know, and we get these things. But do we believe he is who he says he is? Do we trust that he is faithful? See, this faithfulness is not something that even he just came up with or just kind of like, here, I'm going to create this little... No, it is who he is. Faithfulness comes from the essence of God. He is faithful. He will be there. But do we hold fast, hold tightly, not wavering to him? In the circumstance, in the situation, in the trial that we're going through. He didn't say there won't be trials. He just said he'll be with you. He'll get you through. He will use it to strengthen you, to guide you, to help you and to help others, that you can help others because of that situation that you went through. Are we holding tightly, holding fast to him? You know, in another version, it says, hold tightly without wavering. He can be trusted to keep his promises. He can be trusted. That word, faithful in the Greek, one of the main definitions is trust. It's trusting him. It's steadiness in the Hebrew. The main word is steadiness. He is steady. He doesn't move. He doesn't go around. He doesn't run away from us or flee from the situation. He is steady. Can we trust him? Can we be faithful to him? Because he is always faithful to us. We got to hold tight to his promises. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." He will do it. I know sometimes, and I've been in these situations where it's like, God, you have spoken this to me, that this is going to happen. Whether it's with a relationship or financially or work or whatever. It's like, God, you have spoken this. He will do it. Now, God's timing sometimes is different than ours. But he is faithful to his children and to his people. When we say he's faithful, we're saying he will do what he said he'd do. That he is 100% of the time going to come through. Not 80, not 90, not even just 99% of the time, but 100% of the time. Now, I know I'm really belaboring this point, but I feel like that so many times we get into these situations and we feel like, well, maybe God didn't mean it. Maybe he was just saying this might happen. But he doesn't waver, and he will come through. He will do it, as it says in Scripture. He never changes. He doesn't cease to be faithful. He asks us to trust in him. See, things in this world change. Seasons change. Governments change. Financial situations change. Relationships change. The weather in Missouri changes all the time. And so many times, those are the things that we focus on. I don't know about you, but I see 150 posts that's like, hey, you don't like the weather. Wait till tomorrow. And it's like something that we find funny and that it's exciting. And those are the things that we focus on, or the bad things. And this has happened in my life and I'm all, you know, upset or frustrated or what's going to happen. But so many times those faithful, trusted things we get blinded to. Like the fact that I can see becomes just a thing that I don't think about anymore. And that happens until we can't. And then we realize the blessing of seeing the sun that rises in the morning. I don't know about you, but I've seen more sunrises in the past month than I've seen in a whole long time. I mean, probably ever in my lifetime. Going on a trip to India, and the Daybreakers prayer that we have tomorrow, our last one, waking up before the sunrise. I mean, it's amazing. I don't especially love to wake up before the sunrise, but it's amazing. But the sun is faithful to rise. I don't know about you, but I didn't get up and say, oh my God, the sun, it's so amazing. Look at it rising. I can't believe that the sun is coming up. Or maybe the air that we breathe, the breath that we take. Think about this with me. It's always there. How many of you think about the breaths that you take? God does. But think about it. Those things that are constant tend to get less attention. They tend to get pushed to the side for the things that we focus on, which are changing or which are bad or this or that. But we need to be holding fast to God and his faithfulness. Don't let that get pushed aside for the things that are happening around you. He is faithful. He is constant. He's the one that set the sun in its place. The one that set that constant in the sky, would he not be as faithful to come as the sun that he created? As the air that he created for you to breathe, would he not be as faithful to you as that? Think about it. He is faithful. The reason the sun can rise every morning and go like it does, constant in the sky, is because God is constant. Because He is who He says. It's like Joel Osteen says the thing that he says at the end of the message, and it's awesome. And sometimes you're like, well, what, you know, why is he doing that? Because I've come, you know, as we've said this Daybreaker Creed every week, it's funny because you're like, well, why do you do that? But I've realized that we can get accustomed to things, to God doing what he said he would do, or that he is who he said he would be. So Joel Osteen, he says, this is my Bible. He is who he said he is. He will do what he said he'll do. Are we holding fast to the promises, even if it doesn't look like what we thought it would? Even if it doesn't happen when we thought it would? How tightly are you holding on to him? How long will you hold on to that promise? Just for a little while? I don't know about you. I've went with my kids to one of those trampoline parks things, and now they have a little ninja warrior course, and it's got these ropes that hang down. And I don't know about you, but have you ever just tried to grab onto a rope and hang onto it, and maybe even swing to another rope? Anybody guess how long I held onto it? Not even 2 seconds. Once my feet came off the little platform that I was standing on, and I was holding on this rope, and I'm like, yep, I'm gonna swing to the second. I will get at least 3 ropes in, at least. I'm holding onto this rope, and I swing out. Whew. The rope went right out of my hand. I was like, man, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. It's not easy all the time. It's not that the promises of God will be exactly how we thought it would be. Or that we have to hold on, you know, just slightly, because it's just gonna be so easy. But it says, hold fast, hold tight, not wavering. How firm is your grip on the promises of God, on his faithfulness? How much do you trust him? So the Bible says he is the bright morning star. In that, as I was reading that, you know, this, back in that time, they thought it was a star. Now we've learned that it's Venus. But it was the brightest star in the morning that signified, or that told people that day was coming, that told people that there was going to be light coming into the darkness. And they were sure that when they saw that morning star or Venus, they were sure, they knew morning's about to come. Daybreak is about to come in this town. Daybreak is about to come in my life. And when Jesus is called a bright morning star, he is the one that is bringing, telling us, daybreak is about to come. I bring with me the light that leads to life. I bring with me the change in the darkness. The daybreak, the light is coming in your life. No matter what changes in our life, God will not change. He is faithful. He is steadfast. And in the midst of all this turmoil and change, he is our anchor. He is the one that we can hold tightly to. Not our friend, not the government, not, you know, the preacher, although hopefully I share and speak great encouraging and powerful words to you. It's not about holding on to me. It's about holding on to God. It's about Jesus and who he is and what he's brought to our lives. Are we holding fast to him? See, whenever God was speaking with Moses, and Moses was like, what is your name? You know, what can I call you? God says, I am. I am. Not I was, not I will be, not anything else. I am. He's saying, in this moment, he is speaking of himself as the constant, the one, the God who has created everything that will never change. I am. I am yesterday. I am today. I am in the future. No matter what place you're in, no matter what situation you are in, he is the I am. The unchangeable, the unchanging, the constant. So many times in our life, these things that are constant, like I've said, become blind to us. We tend to just believe that they're there and start focusing on other things. But the problem is, whenever we start focusing on the situation, whenever we start focusing on the issue, whenever we start focusing on these things that change, it loosens our grip on him. If we hold fast to him, things can change, but it doesn't matter, because just like he is, we will be steady. Because he doesn't change, and if we're holding on to him, we won't need to change either. Things around us can get bad. Things around us will get better. And we'll be there to be used by God in the meantime. Amen? Exodus 34, verse 6. It says, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That is how he describes himself again. He uses this. And I don't know about you, if you've ever looked up where it talks about the faithfulness of God, but there is so many scriptures. And I think it's interesting because it's not just God, you know, hey, I just want to show you and tell you about how faithful I am. But I think that he understood and knew. I know that he understood and knew. Let me change that. That we'll have trouble understanding or have trouble grasping onto that fact. Because we can get into a situation and be like, but God, why is this happening? But God, where are you at? But God. But he is faithful. See, so many times in this Bible here, from cover to cover, there's story after story after story of his faithfulness. Not that it happened for Moses right when he wanted. Not that it happened for every different person, for Paul or Peter, right when they wanted. But he was faithful to do it in the end. And in those situations, God will use us to speak to those around us. God, why do I have to be in this situation? I don't know. Maybe it's because you're supposed to show who he is to some other person in that situation. Maybe it's because you're supposed to grab onto somebody else that's not going to make it and help them get through. Maybe it's because that in the end, when you get out of that and things are set back in place and steady, that you will be strengthened and have the knowledge that you need to tell people, hey, I went through that. I know what you're going through. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I tell somebody, hey, you shouldn't do that, or this is the way you need to go, and they're like, how do you know? I don't know. I think, I mean, well, I've never really gone through this, but And there are things that I haven't gone through. And I do speak those things to people. But you know what I see in my life and in seasons and situations that I tell people? There was an issue with drugs, and they've come out of that. And they're strong and know what people go through. And then I'm like, God is going to use that. You will be able to speak to people going through that same situation and call them out of it. You will be able to call them out of it and tell them who God is and what he's done for you. How good he is. And that's not going to beat them. But God's going to get them through. See, now, I can speak into that situation, but I can't speak into it like somebody that's gone through it. It's the same forever for so many different things that we've gone through. Can we see it that way? Can we hold fast to him and say, God, you're either going to use me now in this situation or you're going to use me later because of the situation. You're going to do something in me to strengthen me, to help me to know how to speak to those around me or to speak to those in the situation and help them get through. He is faithful. God was faithful to Abraham. So, you know, this story of God promising Abraham and Sarah a son is an amazing story. And when God promised them, they're getting older and they're past that age of childbearing, and God tells them, and Sarah laughs. She's like, ha ha ha, that's so funny. You're funny, God. And God's like, I'm not being funny. He says, there will be generations, there will be multitudes birthed out of you. They were given a son, one son. And then we get a couple of chapters later, and God asks Abraham to take his son up to the mountain to sacrifice him. In verse 2, chapter 22, then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I don't know about you, but first, I think, that was the fulfillment of a promise of God. And you got to think, God, you're asking him to take this promise and this fulfillment of it and sacrifice it on the altar. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I get from it. Do we trust him fully? Or do we hold tight to the promise and let go of God? See, because God promised that there will be generations, there will be multitudes. God promised. And he had one son. And he placed him on the altar. But God says, are you holding tightly to that promise? Are you making that actually an idol? And losing focus on me? Because if I promised I'll come through, even if you do have to sacrifice your son, there would be another son. There may be more. But you need to hold tightly to me. In verse 7, it says, but Isaac spoke to Abraham. So they're getting up on the mountain. They're preparing this altar before God. And Isaac says, hey, Dad, there's a problem here. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. I mean, now it's not even just God speaking to him, saying, hey, take your son up and prepare a burnt offering for me and sacrifice your son. They're getting even further down to where it's like, this is the last minutes, God, if you're going to come through. You got to come through now. And his son, the promise, asked him, hey, I think we're missing a piece of the sacrifice here. We got the wood, we got fire, there's an altar, we're on a mountain. Where's the lamb? But still, Abraham held tight to the faithfulness of God. He said, he's spoken this over me. He said that these things will happen. I will trust him no matter what. No matter how long, I will hold tightly to him. So we get to the moment where he's about ready to sacrifice his son. And it says, then they came up to the place of God that God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Laid the promise on the altar. He let go, trusting God. He let go of the promise. So many times we can hold on to the things of the past. And not that that was in the far past, because his son was still young. But we can hold on to the things that have happened before too tightly, not allowing God to use us the next day or the next year, because we're just holding on to the thing that happened before. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Thank you, God. Here I am. Please do something. I trust you, but do something right now. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In verse 14, it says, and Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. The Lord, I don't know about you. We see these things in the Bible, these moments, like these moments of, you know, Daniel in the lion's den. This young man who is standing up to everyone around him saying, no, I serve the Lord. My God will provide for me. He is everything that I need. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these are all things that we've learned even since we were kids, right? They're the kids' stories, the child stories that we learn, these in the picture Bibles. But think about this with me. These stories are so much more powerful than just the kid's story, because I see these men that held tight, that were holding fast to God no matter what was going on around them. Hey, we won't eat any of the king's food, this stuff to fatten us up, and you think that's going to make us look good and make us healthy. We want to just trust God. We'll just eat this fruit over here. We'll just eat this. We're not going to just take what you're providing, huh? How many times do we allow? Well, the world's providing, so, you know, maybe God's just using that. I'm not saying he doesn't. But how many times do we let go too quickly of the promise of God just because we think that the world can provide it? But God is using these men that have held tight to his promises and his faithfulness, knowing that he would come through. And you know what he did? And as I said before, look at the power of their testimony after the fact. What if they would have let go earlier on, not gotten thrown in the lion's den, not gotten thrown into the fire? But when you come out of the fire, not smelling like smoke, and hey, I thought we put three guys in there. I think there was a fourth. The testimony of God providing in those moments will speak so much stronger than anything we could do for ourselves. If we hold tight to him, hold fast to his promises. See, he set the sun, and it's faithful to come up every morning. Do you not imagine that he will be much more faithful than that creation, than that thing that he created? That beautiful sun that we take for granted. In Lamentations 3:22, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." Because of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. It doesn't say God won't ever have us go through anything. It doesn't say he's going to wipe out all the enemies and we'll just sit on a throne of glory and everybody just worship us. It says his mercies keep us from being consumed. He didn't say we won't walk through stuff. He said he will use it. He will get us through. He'll be there with us. I don't know about you, but I want people to see me. I want people to see us as not those that just say what you're supposed to do, but those that have walked through it. Those that know because of experience that God is good. Those that know that he is faithful because he's come through, even though we've walked through a hard time. I want to be that kind of mouthpiece, one that has weight to it. And as I said last week, people, most people aren't offended by God. They're offended by fake people. They want the real deal. They want somebody that says something and then does it. They don't want somebody that says they're a Christian and then acts like the world. Or says, hey, you can have faith, and then gets in a situation and runs away scared with their tail between their legs. They want to see something. And I will tell you, as I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in so many others' lives. That whenever you go through something and God strengthens you and gets you through the situation, it's not just for you. So many people around know who God is because of that. God wants to use us. He wants to take us to new levels. He wants to take us and prosper us and provide for us and heal us, whatever situation, whatever sickness. Let's hold on to him and say, God, do it. God, use me. I'll walk through the fire. I'll go in the lion's den. I'll sacrifice the promise. I'll do whatever, but I just want you to use me. I trust you. Amen. Why don't you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.